You have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to spend a little time in 2 Thessalonians today. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad we have liberty to have a little fun with each other. Amen. And most people in the world think that the Christian life is like being a stick in the mud. I'm going to tell you this. Before I was saved, I only thought I was having fun. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank the Lord for His people. Thank the Lord for the liberty that we have in Christ. There's a verse of Scripture that I'm interested in today, and then we'll be in the chapter number 3 of 2 Thessalonians. You've been sitting for a while. In reverence to God's Word, would you stand with me for just a moment? I'll just read the one verse, then we'll have prayer, try to bring the message. Paul is finishing up his letter to the Thessalonians, and he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." That's always needed, isn't it? We need prayer in this service. There are lives in the balance in this very service that we're in today. More than one. "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." If you'll pray with me and pray for me, I would appreciate it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that deals in our hearts in these days. Father, I pray that whatever the need is, dear Lord, in this service, God, that need would be met. I'm glad, Lord, that you know what we need even before we ask. But Lord, you said to ask, and you shall receive. Thank you, Father, today for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the privilege to be an American. I pray, God, today that you'll help our country. I'm very concerned, our Lord, for our country, for the direction that we're headed in. I pray, God, you would forgive us of our sin and you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I thought about when I read this verse of Scripture, the Word of the Lord and the importance of the Word of the Lord. Do you all realize that there's places that they call, unquote, quote unquote, church that never opened this book? I will never apologize for opening this book and reading this book and preaching this book. I believe with all of my heart that this is the book that God calls men to preach. When Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He said to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And yet today, many will make a statement foolishly, not even knowing what they're saying. They'll say doctrine is not important. Beloved, doctrine is very important. What the Word of God teaches is very, very important. But the Bible said that the Word of the Lord may have free course. I want you to think about this morning. In one service, if the word of the Lord were to have free course, God's people would be encouraged. In one service, if the word of the Lord would have free course, God's people that maybe have something buried down in their life that don't belong there, it would come out and be expelled, amen, gotten rid of, repented of. I ask a lady yesterday in a text message, and I never got a text back. I said, "Is there anything hindering you from attending church. I wasn't being mean. But I have reason to believe when you don't get a response to that, that maybe it was taken the wrong way or it was offensive. Can I tell you this? There's times when I just read this book and it pricks my heart. It shows me where I'm falling short. It shows me where I need to move up. It shows me where I'm lacking. I thought about this afterwards and hours went by. Let me say this to you in love this morning. If a text like that gets you sideways, what's it going to be like when you stand before God? I tell you, beloved, listen, the excuses are going to be wiped out. There's going to be no excuse. And I believe in these days that we live in, we need to be kind and we need to be loving. But I believe we need to speak the truth. I said probably 2 or 3 months ago, it's amazing to me. Beloved, listen, seems to me like the crowd's bigger at the Walmart than it is at Bible Way. It's amazing to me that nobody's afraid of the crowd at the Walmart, but they're afraid of the crowd at Bible Way. I'm just telling you, beloved, this pastor's concerned. I believe we're living in a day when God's doing a little weeding. Say amen. I'm telling you, there's one thing I've learned about a garden. If you're going to have a successful garden, you better take care of the weeds. Amen. You better water the garden. You better put some fertilizer on the garden. You better care for the garden. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God cares for His garden. He loves His people. What would happen if the Word of the Lord were to have free course? I want to just read a couple of things to you in the onset of the message today, and I'm going to give you 3 things, and we're going to go out of here this morning. The Word of God, if it had free course, it'd work in the lives of the saints. It'd work in the life of the sinner. I remember being 27 years old. I remember I'd heard the Word of God most of my life. One of the reasons the bus ministry or the van ministry, whatever you want to call it, will always have a special place in my life is I was one of those youngins. Somebody cared enough about to knock on the door every Saturday. Give me a piece of bubble gum or a piece of candy. And say, don't tell anybody, Ricky, we'll be by to pick you up in the morning. And they'd tell me what time. And you know what they did? They loved me. And I heard a lot of Bible in my early years, amen. If you would have looked at me in my teenage years, you would have think it didn't do any good. I want you to know something. Beloved, it didn't matter where I was at or what I was doing. That word was lodged right there in my heart and in my life. Thank God there come a day when the Word of the Lord had free course in my life. It caused me to stand up, a young man, and admit I was exactly what the Word of God said I was, a sinner. I was headed exactly where the Word of God said I was headed, to hell. And I needed exactly what the Word of God provided, and that was a Savior that gave His life for me on an old rugged cross. That night, the Spirit of God took the Word of God in my life, and it had free course, and I was born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why I'm going to live forever. Praise God. God put a seed in me. Amen. He's going to see to it that I live forever. Think about this. A couple of things here that I've got on my mind to share with you. We'll get right into the message. Andrew Jackson said, "This book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Oh, dear God, what would it be like to have somebody in Washington, D.C. stand up and hold this book and say, "This book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rest. Oh, no, we couldn't do that because there's about 29 or 30 different books now. Say amen. And I tell you, there's only one that's going to matter in the end. You can say whatever you want to, honey. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. This book, beloved, is alive. This book is God-breathed. This book is settled forever in heaven. Listen to what George Washington said. He said, it is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible. You say, Pastor, why would you read these statements? We need to get back. Beloved, our country needs to return. The Word of God, beloved, is telling us when it has free course, we're going to give you a message that God put in our heart of some evidence that it has free course. Ronald Reagan said, within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today. If only we would read it and believe. I don't know about you, but I long for another Ronald Reagan. Somebody, beloved, listen. They could belittle him, and he could stand there and grin while they were doing it. Put it right back in their lap. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate our country, but I'm concerned about our country. Moms and dads, beloved, through COVID, have been looking over the shoulder of their kids and are astounded at what their children are being taught in the school system. They're absolutely shocked. I'm going to say it like this, at the garbage that's being pumped into our children. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, when you're pumping this old book into your family, into your children, it's not garbage. Amen. It'll get the job done. I appreciate it, don't you? Amen. Listen, God wants us to know that the Word of God, when it has free course, it will accomplish three things. Let's look at them together this morning in chapter number 3. Number one, this is what I studied this and read it and reread it. And I want to give you something that I believe you can take home with you. Number one, when the Word of God has free course, it delivers us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? First of all, we're delivered through the Scripture. The Word of God said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. There is no substitute for God's Word in our lives. I know that when you go to a fancy restaurant, I've been to one. I think Miss Eve and I went to one when we were teenagers, and they just keep carrying out stuff. And you're supposed to know which fork to use. Dear God, just give me the one that works. Amen. I don't have to have the right one. Amen. They bring you out some soup. They bring you out some salad. Then they bring you out the main entree, and you finally get to what you sat down for, the dessert. Amen. There's four courses. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen. There's not four courses that's important in the life of the Christian. There's one, and that is the course of God's Word. Having not four course in your life, but free course in your life. That means if God says go to the right, go to the right. That means if God says sit down, sit down. That means if God says go, you go. That means, beloved, listen, that we're looking to the Word of God for instruction in our life. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Philippian jailer, ready to fall on his sword, ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas were in there. You know what was happening that night? I'll just tell you, the Word of God was having free course in their life. They weren't murmuring. They weren't complaining. They were in there praising God. Amen. They were in there praying. They were in there singing. And the beloved, that Philippian jailer, when he sprang in, the word of God said he came trembling. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Beloved, listen, not only should sinners be trembling in this generation, but God's people ought to be trembling. What must I do to be saved? I'm going to tell you something. Paul did not give some long exhortation. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Later that night, that man was baptized. His family was baptized. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and the very stripes that he had applied earlier in the day, he was now washing and trying to comfort the man of God. Amen. You say, Pastor, that seems like a radical change. That's what I'm preaching. Amen. A Christ that will change your life. When he comes into your life, he delivers us through the scripture. Secondly, he delivers us from the sinner. Look at verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, everybody's not for you if you're saved by the grace of God. There's some wicked people in this world that want to drive a wedge between you and your wife. That want to drive a wedge between you and your family. That want to drive a wedge between you and your church. That want to drive a wedge between you and your God. There's some wicked people on the job. Amen. There's some wicked people at the school that do not care about you. But God said, stay in this book. It'll deliver you. Not only through the scripture, but from the sinner, wicked, unreasonable men. And then it'll deliver us from sin. Look in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you, what's the word of God saying? From the evil. Beloved, Jesus, when he prayed for us in the garden, when in John chapter number 17, he said, Lord, he said, Father, I pray not that you'd take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. It's one way or the other. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Oh, beloved friend, thank God we have a book. The washing of water by the word. We've been living in these last, I guess, year and a half, 18 months, washing our hands more than we've ever washed our hands. Trying to be careful with the germs and all of that that's spread around. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, not only do we need to be careful with our hands, listen, the water and the Germex will work on the hands, but it's the Word of God that works on the heart. It's the Word of God that will wash and cleanse the inside. So God's Word, when it has free course, it will deliver us. Secondly, God's Word, when it has free course, it will direct us. I'm praying for people right now that have asked me to pray for them. They're seeking God's direction in their life. I want you to know something. That's refreshing to a pastor to know that there are people that aren't going to be guided by man. They want to know what God's will is in their life. They want God's direction. You say, Pastor, where did you find that in the text? Look at verse number 5. I'll read verse 4 as well. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Bible said in verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. God will direct us. His word. The psalmist said it like this. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I got up in the woods yesterday morning. You say, Pastor, why'd you go to the woods? Because I woke up at 5:30 and I couldn't go back to sleep. You say, Pastor, what'd you do in the woods? Well, I got another Bible that's just about like this. And I've got a stand that really looks like a condominium. Amen. Yes, it's got heat in it. My grandson said, Papa, when are you going to put a bedroom in it? Well, if I get sleepy, I'll lay down on the floor and go to sleep. But I'm going to tell you something. I got up there and I realized something. I had put a flashlight in my pocket right here on a sweatshirt. And I lost it. And it was dark. Thank God for a cell phone. I pulled it out and done a little flipping and flashlight and got me enough light to walk to where I was going. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are people in this world that walk every day, never open this book. It never lights their path. The Bible said when the Word of God has free course, beloved, it will direct. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm telling you, beloved, there's snares in the path, and the Word of God will light them up so we can go around them or we can go over them. We don't have to be caught in the snares in this world. The Bible's telling us here, beloved, there's three things I'll give you quickly. It'll direct us. It'll direct us in our worship. It'll direct us to worship. The Bible said the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You know what? The devil, the enemy, especially when God's people are suffering, especially when God's people are lonely. He wants to back them up in the corner. He wants them, beloved, listen to me. He wants them to believe that nobody cares, nobody's paying attention, and they could care less about you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll not read this book and realize there's a God in heaven, as Charity said a while ago, that cares about you, that knows what you need. It'll cause you, beloved, to worship Him. It'll direct your heart into the love of God. Watch this. Not only, beloved, will it direct us to worship, but it'll direct us to wait. Look what the Word of God said. Into the patient waiting for Christ. I told somebody the other day, I can't remember if it was on a phone call or a text message. I talked to so many people, and I don't say that boastfully, but it all runs together after a while. But I remember saying this, this could be the day. Boy, what if we got up every morning, Sister Janita, and just that thought went through our mind, this could be the day. This could be the day when our Lord and our Savior steps out on a cloud. I'm going to tell you something. You tell me what in the world is going to matter down here if this is the day, amen? I'll tell you what's going to matter. Have we worshiped Him? Have we loved on Him? Have we been in His book? Is this book having free course in our life? If it is, beloved, it'll cause us to patiently wait for His appearing and realize this could be the day when finally at last I'll see Him as He is. Finally at last I'll be like Him. Finally at last I'll have total and complete victory over sin. Never, never, ever. This is the day. I'll be like Him. I'll be with Him. Many songs are written face to face. I'm not going to quarrel about that. But I read where John saw Him in Revelation chapter 1. And the Word of God said he fell at His feet as dead. I may be face to face one day, but I believe before that ever happens, I believe when I see Him, I'm going to want to fall around those feet. Amen. I believe, listen, the scars are still there. And I believe, listen, we're going to want to humble ourselves. It's going to be humbling to be with Him. And to be like Him. It'll cause us to wait. Worship the love of God. Wait on the Son of God. This is unusual, but it's right here in the Bible. It'll cause us, when the Word of God is having free course in our life, it'll cause us to withdraw from the saints of God. You say, now, Pastor, what do you mean? Let's read it. It's right here in the Word of God. I didn't say all the saints of God, but let's read what it says. Look at verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you have received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Watch this now. The word disorderly is used three times in the text. Look at verse 6. He said here, we that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Verse 7, we have not behaved ourselves disorderly. Look at verse number 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Well, tell you something, beloved. I don't know. 1987. How many years ago was that, Miss Eve? How many? 24? 24 years ago. 34. Thank you, Miss Eve. She's a good English teacher. Skip the math. In all of my 34 years, I've never heard a sermon or a preacher or a teacher, a Bible teacher say that you ought to withdraw yourself from those that walk disorderly. You say, Pastor, what will happen if I don't? It won't be long. You'll be walking disorderly. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God has the answers for life. And when the Word of God has free course, beloved, there'll be times when you're going to have to get away. I was talking to our teens this morning. And, you know, if you're on the job, or I was talking to Trent about the fire department, that somebody's going to light up some kind of old nasty joke. I'm going to tell you, you ought to withdraw from that. Moms and dads on the job, at the school, wherever it is, when that stuff's going on, you ought to withdraw from that. Especially when it's someone that calls himself a brother. You ought to withdraw. Beloved, listen, from those that are walking disorderly. And beloved, if you'll read it in its context, the Bible said here in verse number 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that any would not work, neither should he eat. Oh, Pastor, you can't preach that in this generation. Honey, this book works in every generation. Had a guy call me. Our church has helped him before. Had a guy call me last week. Pastor, I need some help. I said, I'm sorry, brother, but you're going to have to find it somewhere else. I said, we've helped you twice in a big way. I said, I've asked you, the least you could do would be to show up and thank the people that have helped you. And the last time that I helped him, listen to me, then he made a statement. I'm not even going to say what he said. I need $400 to pay my bills. The last time I looked, everywhere I go in Kingsport, Churchill, Allendale, now hiring, I believe, beloved, listen, some of these places would take a Jersey cow if they could teach a Jersey cow how to push the buttons on a cash register. Amen! I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this Word of God sometimes gets tough. When it has free course, there's sometimes you just have to withdraw. Say, Pastor, you're mean. No, I'm not. God's never mean when He tells us the truth. He said, if you won't work, you ought to do without a peanut butter sandwich. You get hungry enough, honey, there's somebody's leaves needs to be raked. Somebody's grass needs to be weed-eated. Somebody's vehicle needs oil changed in it. There's somebody's house that needs to be vacuumed that can't get up and vacuum it themselves. I'm telling you, that's what this book teaches. I talked to Brother Phil Hoskins yesterday at the graveside. And Brother Phil's preaching a lot everywhere. He said, I didn't retire from the ministry. He said, I retired from pastoring. That's exactly what Brother Don McCann did. Brother Don is still preaching and preaching and preaching. You say, Pastor, don't you guys have a retirement program? Yes, we do. It's out of this world. We're going to keep preaching. Listen, it's a fire in our bones. We can't help it. If I get to where I can't leave the house, look out, Miss Eve. Finally, I'll get her straightened out, maybe. Direct us. The Word of God will deliver us. The Word of God will direct us. Thirdly, and I'm done this morning, the Word of God drives us. Let me ask you something. Do you ever get slack? I found that this book, Brother Aaron, will cause me to want to take up the slack. Get back on the firing line. It drives us. Let me give you several things real quickly. Number one, it drives us to the work. In verse number 4, the Word of God said, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you." I'm going to ask you something now. Listen, I'm not talking about the Eastman. I'm not talking about the Kmart or the Walmart or the pharmacy or wherever you are. I'm asking you about the work of God. Are you driven to the work of God? Or are you driven from the work of God? This book will never... I talked to Brother Coulter last night. We had such a wonderful conversation. He's down there in missionary class this week. He had one of the preachers that was on the board take him on for support this week. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? It's unheard of. He had two of the preachers that was on the board went together and bought him a pallet of Bibles to take to Kentucky and give to the state troopers. You want to know why? Because that young man is not running from the work. He's running to the work. Just show me where it is. I'm going, amen, to do whatever God wants me to do. It'll drive us to the work. When I think of Calvary and what he did for me, I realize, I'll just go ahead and throw this out here. I realize something. I'm getting older. Y'all hush. We got a quote last week. $1,500 to trim 4 Bradford pear trees. That's what I did, Brother Grizzle. $1,500. Now I could hook to my tractor. Put it up on a trailer. I got a nice little platform. I need to let somebody like Brother Gary drive it. Because I've learned, if Brother Jim's driving it, you're taking your life in your own hands. Amen. You better be prayed up when Brother Jim lifts you up in the air. That's all I can tell you. Amen. I'm aggravating you, Brother Jim. Brother Gary's real good on a piece of equipment. Brother Randall, I promise you, in a half a day, I could have it laid on the ground. But you know what happens? Every time a preacher jumps into a project like that, it's the same 3 or 4 guys. Am I telling it right? You can announce it, it don't matter. This has just been my mentality through my ministry. Maybe it needs to change. I'm not running from the work. If I see something that needs to be done, matter of fact, didn't I tell you men a year ago, don't let us go through another winter. Remind me, amen, them trees need to be trimmed. What's going to happen, see, they're getting so full, the wind's going to come, and you ever seen a Bradford pear when the wind gets done with it? It's going to break it all to pieces. So they need to be cut back. Boy, I didn't mean to say all this morning. Brother Houston, it looks like I'm just going plumb contrary, amen, to what you guys talked about like back there. But this is the way I think. That's $1,500 that could go to missions.
We could work a half a day, 4 or 5 hours, load it up on a trailer. We don't even have to do that. We can do like we did in my yard. I trimmed 5 trees in my yard this year. You can lay out a big rope, put the end of the limbs over top of the rope, make a noose around it, take a tractor and drag it back there. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. Maybe I have. Maybe at 61 years old, I just need to quit. Let's hire it all done. Maybe that's right. I don't know, but it's not in my DNA to run from the work. It's in my DNA to run to the work and do what needs to be done. Boy, it's quiet. Pray for me, Brother Steve. I said, maybe I do need to change. $1,500, you could look at it like this. That way everybody has a part in it. Let me back up. Everybody that tithes has a part in it. I'm just telling you. My daddy taught me when I was young how to work. And I don't mind to work. Do it, Brother Larry. Brother Jim Richmond, he minds to work. He eats lunch. He's done. He's a great worker. Just don't feed him. I have never seen a man that could lay down on his side and use a nail gun as good as Brother Jim. Amen. What do you do? I've lost my mind. I'm picking on the good ones. He said, I'm okay. For some reason or another, I don't feel okay right now, Brother Steve. Kind of like when the picture of the gerbil popped up on the wall. It's not a gerbil, it's a hamster. It drives us, the Word of God drives us to the work. Number two, the Word of God drives us away from weariness. Look what the Word of God said in verse number 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I'm going to ask you a question. Brother Ralph, do you ever get tired? Brother Ralph, has this book ever been like a shot in the arm? Got like vitamins? You get in this book and you're weary and you're tired. And you just wonder, can I go on? Can I go on? When the Word of the Lord has free course in your life, it'll drive you from weariness. I wonder tonight, I wonder how weary Jesus was by the time he got to Calvary. You realize he had been beaten? You realize, beloved, he had been scourged? You realize he had been blindfolded and they'd hit him with their fists? You realize there's blood coming out of where they put a crown of thorns in his head? There's blood coming out of his head. There's blood coming out of his hands. There's blood coming out of his back. There's blood coming out of his feet. There's blood running down the cross. I believe he was weary. But I believe we're getting this book. This book will take the quit out of us. We'll see that he didn't quit. He went all the way. It'll drive us to the work. It'll drive us from weariness. But then in verse number 13, it'll drive us to well-doing. Work is not always with a hammer and a saw, or a truck and a tractor, or a paintbrush and a roller. I'm going to make a statement. Prayer is work. When somebody, Brother Taylor, says, I'm going to get off of my closet, I'm going to pray for Brother Vinoy. I'm going to pray for his family. I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to pray for those that's lost their loved ones recently. Beloved, that's work too. I'm not here to say that it's only physical work. As a matter of fact, some of us are cut out more like Martha. And some of us are cut out more like Mary. But it's all work. And God will help us, beloved, in well-doing. It may not be, beloved, listen, the thing that you think about when you think about work. But I want you to know this. If it's something God put on your heart, it might be a pie, it might be a cake. I've often said, why do we have to wait for someone to pass away before we bake a cake or cook a pie? Just tell somebody that we love them. Amen. The word of the Lord. When it has free course, it'll deliver us. When it has free course, it'll direct us. When it has free course, it'll drive us. I'm going to confess something to you. Because of age, because of arthritis, because we get tired, sometimes my attitude is not what it was when I first got saved. I went into my pastor's office, and it was a Tuesday night after I was saved on Sunday night. I said, Pastor, I didn't come in here to tell you what I would do or won't do. I said, I come in here to tell you I'll do anything you need me to. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. If you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. If you need me to paint something, I'll paint it. If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. I said, Pastor, just anything you need. I want to help you. You say, Pastor, why was it that way? Because 2 days before, I finally realized just how much He loved me. And I turned right around and loved Him because He first loved me. I hope and pray that you've not just heard words this morning, but that some way or another, God has helped you to see my heart. We need this book like we've never needed this book before. If it were to have free course in our country, there would be some laws that would have to be reversed immediately. If it were to have free course in the Congress, and people were getting together and trying to find the mind of God instead of the mind of the Democrats or the mind of the Republicans, how much better off we would be. I've always appreciated working with our men. We go back there realizing we may have an idea. I love the way Brother Brian said it. He said, we may have an idea, but somebody else might have a better idea. My Heavenly Father, I talked about Bradford pear trees. They may not need to be trimmed in December because He can take them all across the street before December. Amen. Sometimes we worry about things, concerned about things that we don't need to be concerned about. But we do need to plan ahead, don't we? You know what Brother Howard Robinson told me years ago? He said, Brother Vinoy, plan your work. Then he said this, work your plan. You men ought to be relieved. Really? Because this whole facility needs a roof. if I was 40 years old. Miss Cindy, you'd bring us some lunch, wouldn't you? Amen. But I'm not 40 years old. And by the way, I done promised God I got up on this roof once. There's a song, Les, it said, once was enough. I said, God, if you'll help me down off this roof, I'll never be back up here again. I had a pole, seeing if it was long enough to clean the steeple. I leaned into that roof like a skier going up that roof. And I got up on top and stood up. And what have I done? And I'm not afraid of heights. The only thing I could think, the camper was sitting over there at the time, is get in line with it. At least you'll flop off on it, and then it's only another 10 feet to the ground. I'm not fussing this morning. But you know I'm telling it right. In any family, you have a family outing. You have a family picnic. And you'll have people looking for something to do to help. And you'll be have others looking for the car. Am I right or am I wrong? Same way. When the word of the Lord has free course, it'll deliver us. It'll direct us. It'll drive us. What's the driving force in your life? What is it that drives you? Is it your bank account? Is it your retirement account? This book ought to be what drives the child of God. Amen. Let's pray this morning.